You're listening to the Mindful Weight Loss Podcast, episode 90.
It's time to look at weight loss in a whole new way. Instead of focusing on calories in, calories out, you'll learn how to use your brain to transform your body and heal your relationship with food. If you're ready to lose your weight for the last time, you're in the right place. Because it's more than what you eat. It's who you are when you're eating. This is the Mindful Weight Loss Podcast. Here's your host, life and weight loss coach, Dr. Michelle Tupman.
Well, hello, friends. Welcome back to the podcast. This week, we are diving deep into a difficult conversation, but a crucial conversation around sexual assault in women and the trauma that it causes us. And I think that it is super important that we have this conversation because we all know the statistics that say 1 in 3 women will be affected by sexual violence over the course of their lifetime. And this is not something that we talk enough about. We talk about the statistics, we talk about the right that we should have as women to feel safe in our bodies, at work, at home, out there in the world, but we don't often talk about the effects of sexual trauma and what we need to do to heal ourselves from that trauma. And so today I am joined by Anissa Hudak. She is a yoga therapist and the founder of the Trauma Healing Yoga Therapy Program. Anissa works with women who have been sexually traumatized to help them heal their PTSD and the other trauma-related issues with yoga therapy. As a 2-time rape survivor herself, she intimately understands the needs these women face and helps them navigate their healing journeys. I will say that through this episode, both Anissa and I talk about our own personal experience with sexual violence. And if this conversation might be triggering for you, please feel free to skip and join us again next week. If you do choose to join us, you will hear how you can use yoga therapy and other therapies to help heal the trauma of your body, of your mind, of your soul through yoga therapy. So without further delay, here is the interview with Anissa.
Anissa, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. I'm delighted to have you here.
Thanks so much for having me on.
We are going to have an amazing conversation on trauma and PTSD and what that means and how it manifests in our body and how you use yoga therapy to help heal yourself and people with trauma responses and PTSD in their body. Big, huge topic to tackle today, but super important, I think, for the audience of this podcast, because, you know, Anissa, you and I have spoken offline before, and, you know, one of the common things that I see amongst some women, not all women, but some women who carry extra weight is a history of trauma in the background. And the unfortunate piece about all of this is that it's just not really talked about mainstream at all. And it's often not talked about in terms of, you know, medical offices when people seek, you know, health help for symptoms that they're having and other things. And so sometimes people are forced by necessity to turn to people like you and me to explore some of this. So I think it's very important that we have this conversation openly and with all of our vulnerability out there so that listeners understand that if they have experienced trauma in the past or if they are having symptoms of trauma, that they're not alone and that there are places for them to go. So I just want to put that out there before we start digging deep into this topic. And so Anissa, getting that little intro out of the way, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you help people who have experienced trauma in the past?
Well, I am a yoga therapist, and my whole scope of practice is to move people's bodies in a way that it helps them to release the trauma that has been stored in their bodies. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a talk therapist. Mm-hmm. Although I can listen, I am human and I'm happy to do that. Sometimes, you know, releasing is a part of yoga and sometimes that's just talking and that's okay. Mm-hmm. However, I'm going to direct you then to your therapist to unpackage whatever it is you're talking about. My job is to literally move your body in a way that you leave the baggage behind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Anissa, how Before we dig into this, let's just clarify some terms. So you talk about yoga therapy, and this is a new term for me. Like, certainly I've heard of yoga. What is the difference between yoga and yoga therapy?
That's a great question. I love this question because people don't know about it. Mm-hmm. If you think of yoga as a big pie, if you splice it down the middle, on one half you have yoga, like fitness-based yoga. So Ashtanga, hot yoga, Bikram, co-ed naked hot yoga, like aerial yoga, all kinds of fun stuff that's great for your body. And it's going to do wonders for your brain as well. Mm-hmm. Then on the other side of the pie, we have therapeutic yoga. And we work with a particular group of people, getting them to hopefully reach a goal. So we have yoga therapy for cardiac rehab, cancer, MS, you name it, anything. I just happen to work with folks with PTSD and TBIs, traumatic brain injuries.
Mm-hmm. Okay, excellent. And I also want to talk about what trauma looks like in the body, because I think people don't understand what we mean when we talk about moving trauma through the body. And, you know, that being the goal of yoga therapy in terms of TBIs. And when we say TBI, you know, traumatic brain injury, yes. And other forms of trauma that occur to us as humans. So what does it look like when a person has trauma in their body?
You know, everyone thinks that PTSD is depression or anxiety or anger or, you know, crying or, things like that, not sleeping and nightmares. And those are all symptoms. Mm-hmm. However, trauma actually starts in the body first. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you, have you ever seen two dogs fight?
Yes.
Okay. And after they're done fighting and they're walking away from one another, do you remember what they do?
They like give a little bit of a shake.
Yeah.
Right. Or a stretch or a yawn, like they move their bodies in a specific way, or they, you know, yeah.
They tremble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So remember that. That's kind of important here. Mm-hmm. As humans, in this scenario, I'm going to refer to two different types of brains that we have. The first one is the upper echelon brain. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're doing, you know, math equations and grocery lists and, you know, all that kind of stuff, higher echelon thinking, if you will. Mm-hmm. That's also where we do our emotional regulation. It's in that upper echelon brain. And mm-hmm. then we have the reptilian brain. And there is where we do, breathing and blinking and telling us to go to the bathroom and letting us know we're hungry. Just all of the stuff that we don't think about, mm-hmm. But happens, it creates homeostasis in our bodies. It is also where the flight, fight, fawn, freeze mechanism
right.
is to
sure.
keep us alive. Mm-hmm. So now let's say you're walking down the street and somebody comes up behind you and they've got a gun and they're mugging you. So you're going to leave the upper echelon brain because that's where you were heading down the street, mm-hmm. going to buy groceries. And you're going to leave that and you're going to go into fight or flight, freeze or fawn mode. So you're just leaving the upper echelon brain to go to the reptilian brain to keep yourself safe. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole body's mechanism. I just want to keep myself safe, however I have to. Okay. So after the incident is over, we need to leave the reptilian brain because we don't live there. Mm-hmm. We only go there once for that mechanism. So now we have to leave there and go back up to the upper echelon brain. Well, how do we do that? We shake, just like those dogs did. That was resetting their central nervous system. We have to do the exact same thing. We have to reset our central nervous system. I hate to burst everybody's bubble. However, we are animals.
Mm-hmm. That we are.
We are.
Right?
We as humans, we don't like to see people shake. And so what happens? Oh, come here, let me hold you. Mm-hmm. Or an EMT will strap you to a board, you know?
Yeah. Or if you come into the emergency department where I work, we sedate you, right? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So if that shaking mechanism doesn't occur, then we get stuck in that reptilian brain. When that happens, that is where the PTSD happens. That's where it comes from. Mm-hmm. Now we're able to utilize the yoga therapy to actually help people reset that central nervous system and be able to then go back up to the upper echelon brain. Mm-hmm. Our bodies trap that trauma on a very cellular level. And there's actually certain muscle groups that we work more than others to really help mimic that shaking again, to then be able to get back to the upper echelon brain. So that's why you see folks with PTSD, with depression, anger management, all of these different types of things. These are all symptoms. And of course, because the emotional regulation is in that other part of the brain, we can't tap into it.
Right, right.
However, there's also a lot of physical things that happen. We have extra cortisol going through our veins. Why? Because when we're in fight or flight, our body dumps a ton of adrenaline and cortisol into our brain, into our bodies. We've got extra now going through our bodies all the time. It was never supposed to be for that reason. And that creates a lot of problems. Hence why some women and men often hold on to more weight is because of the cortisol,
mm-hmm.
The bloody cortisol.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so sometimes it is psychological. You know, if I have more pounds on me, then I'm not as attractive and people won't bother with me. I can become a wallflower. I'm less likely to be attacked
mm-hmm.
or bothered with.
Mm-hmm.
So some of it is psychological. Some of it is just the chemistry of it, the body chemistry of it. There's that additional cortisol in the body. And so it helps to pack on the pounds and keep it on.
Yeah.
I mean, you could be in the gym 4 hours a day every day.
Yeah.
But if you've got that cortisol in your system, you can't get around the chemistry.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I'll tell a little bit about my story, and maybe we can use that as a launch pad to discuss a little bit about how this works. Because I was the victim of a sexual assault many years ago, like 2003, this was. And I was dosed and raped in a foreign country where I was working as an aid worker. And I didn't know it happened. I was completely unconscious. But when I woke up, I knew, right? Like my body had known what had happened. And there were, you know, multiple things that happened, including me being blamed for it. By the way, I was interrogated about how was I dressed? What was I wearing? You know, all these sorts of things that actually, in retrospect, I think did more damage to me. But when I came home from that mission working overseas, I was mandated to see a therapist. And I had a hard time with this because I couldn't talk about something that I didn't remember, right? And my body did. I had all sorts of symptoms in my body. I had pain where I never had pain before. I was persistently nauseous with, you know, stomach pains that I couldn't really explain. I had a headache all the time, and I was reluctant to leave my house. And, you know, so a couple questions is, you know, was my being unconscious at the time this happened, did that limit my ability to, you know, do that shake and reset my nervous system? Is that why, you know, I had some of these, you know, physical symptoms for so long? You know, that's question one. And then, you know, question two, was all of those symptoms that I was having for that time period a reflection of the trauma that I had, or was that something else?
Those are really big questions. I'm very sorry for your experience. Did you shake? Well, nobody knows.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could have. You might not have. Considering the fact that you were unconscious adds another layer to the whole thing. And because you don't know if you shook, you might have. However, because you were unconscious and this happened when you had absolutely no control, you still might have even developed PTSD, even if you had shook.
Yeah.
The symptoms that you describe, you know, diagnosing PTSD is incredibly difficult. There are over 75 different symptoms that mm-hmm. fall under this huge umbrella called PTSD.
Sure. So it's more than just flashbacks, hey? I think when we talk about PTSD, people just think about, you know, flashbacks as being the big, it's way more than that, hey?
It is way more than that. We're talking IBS. We're talking, you know, acid reflux. We're mm-hmm. talking about nausea, you know, headaches, migraines, lack of sleep, insomnia, night terrors, nightmares. I mean, the list goes on, like I said, over 75 different physical and psychological symptoms. So what you need to find is someone who can look at you as a whole person. And you have to be open to the fact that, yes, there's psychological things, but there's also physical things. Mm-hmm. And things that, you know, oh gosh, my stomach gets upset at least 3 times a week. It may not be any, you might not be connecting the dots. Yeah. However, someone who's looking at you as a whole person can say, okay, you've got this going on, you got this going on. You know, it's kind of like a Chinese menu, one from column A, column B, you know.
Sure.
But you need somebody to kind of connect all the dots to say, yeah, you got PTSD. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's so hard to diagnose. And more than likely, what you were experiencing absolutely was PTSD.
Yeah. And that made sense to me. And I bring it up because, I mean, this was a long time ago and I had never heard of yoga therapy until I met you, actually. So that, you know, wouldn't have ever been something that I you know, sought. But my therapist suggested EMDR, which was also new to me at the time. And she described it as a way of resetting the nervous system. And so we had a number of sessions of that. And that seemed to just, you know, fix, like it was just over for me after those sessions. All my symptoms were gone and I felt good. I felt normal again after that. And so I always come back to that because it was just such a dramatic difference in who I was before and after those sessions. And I'm a little surprised I haven't gone to learn more about EMDR and what it actually means because of how, you know, effectual it was in my case, but I've always thought about, you know, what happened there and what would have happened. What would my life look like right now if I didn't get that treatment as soon as I did? And then I think, my God, how many women out there, because if you believe the statistics, you can't throw a stone in a room without finding a woman who has experienced, you know, sexual assault at least once. And so if there are so many women walking around this earth that have had that experience and didn't have the opportunity to work with, you know, the therapist that I had or a practitioner like yourself, like that's heartbreaking.
It is, you know, statistics say it's 1 out of every 4. Mm-hmm. I think it's 1 out of every 2 women. Every other woman walking the face of the earth has had some sort of sexual, you know, negative experience. Mm-hmm. That's disgusting, but we think that's really what it is. You know, trauma is kind of like your thumbprint. It's incredibly individual. And so my trauma may not look like yours, even though we've had similar experiences. I'm a 2-time rape survivor. And so, you know, just because our experiences might be similar, it doesn't mean that our symptoms and the way we feel and our healing journeys are going to look the same. I have also had EMDR, which I love. It was wonderful for me. The greatest thing about it is it really peels back the onion. And when you look at a memory, that's what it's really working with, is the memory. The way a memory is recorded by the brain, and this is just so fascinating, our brains are the most incredible computers walking. Because our brains at this moment are recording memories in the moment. Okay. And so if you take a part of memory, you take the visual, you take the hearing, you take the sight, the scent, the smell, and you put them, think of it as different filing cabinets. Mm-hmm. And then when the brain goes to collect the memory and recollect it, all of those things come out of the filing drawers and come together and they make a full memory. However, when you've experienced PTSD, most times the wires get crossed, things get scrambled, synapses aren't connecting, and the entire memory does not come back together. And the brain doesn't like a memory that has 3 out of 5 parts to it, let's say. And so to help us out, it will actually put in information for us. Well, we think this might be what happened. And so we'll put it in. And generally speaking, it is something negative. The reason for that is because of cavemen. This goes all the way back to cavemen. And, you know, they had to keep themselves safe. And so in a way to keep themselves safe, the brain kind of wired itself to think negatively. You know, don't go out of the cave at night because you're going to get eaten by a tiger. You know, things like that. So the stuff that the brain puts in for us is generally negative. It is generally wrong. And now we have a memory that is not correct. However, it's because our brain brought it together. We think it's correct. And that's what we go with. And it's usually worse than what actually happened.
Sure. Yeah.
With EMDR, they are able to really peel back that onion and find in the filing cabinets those other missing pieces and bring together the memory the way it really occurred. And then when you look at it, you realize it wasn't generally as bad as it was. You get the missing parts, and then you're able to actually deal with the truth and not what your brain is making you think is the truth.
Right. That's powerful.
So EMDR is incredible. Every technician, from what I've seen so far, every technician kind of takes it and does it their own way. Sometimes it's buzzers in your hands. Sometimes it's a finger in front of the eye. Sometimes it's both. My therapist used the buzzers in the hands and used it with brain spotting. And that worked wonderfully for me. And after all of these years of working on myself, my first rape, I have put to bed. However, I said to my therapist, am I done? Am I done? You know, can I just be done? And he said to me, now, Anissa, you know this as much as I do. A smell, a sound, a sight, anything can spark a trigger. It's been stuck in a filing cabinet, and all of a something, you know, something takes it out and brings it all back. And there's a part that you have to work on again. He said, you never know when you're going to be triggered. And that's kind of the scary thing. However, if you get to a point where you can then handle those triggers, it's not so scary. I mean,
it's not so scary because that is my lived experience with this, right? And it doesn't happen often, but it happens from time to time. And it's usually enough for me to just remind myself I'm safe. And then, you know, I feel okay. But there was, you know, during the COVID, so this happened to me when I was working with Doctors Without Borders in a refugee camp. And that piece is important because the other thing that was going on at the time was we didn't have an oxygen concentrator, which meant that we couldn't give babies when they had pneumonia the oxygen that they needed to survive it. And it was absolutely devastating for me to watch babies die because we didn't have oxygen, when oxygen just feels like it's an unlimited supply in hospitals, you know, here at home. And like, I hadn't thought of this in years, but during COVID, there was a point in time where the hospital had told us that we might run out of oxygen again, like the oxygen concentrators that we, you know, and that we had to go for training on how to triage which patients would be more likely to survive and therefore get the oxygen. And that, like, everything came rushing back. And I had a hard time putting two and two together, you know, for a while, because I was in so much fight or flight. Like, I had to take a couple weeks off work and, like, kind of work through this. And that was definitely, you know, the worst that I had experienced, since that. But even then, I was able to, to kind of work through it, and with the help of a therapist, and, you know, put it to rest again. But I mean, it's very true that things are just going to come out of the blue. Like, who knew, like, a virus was going to, you know, bring all of this back for me. And I won't lie, it was absolutely terrifying. And there was a period of time where I thought, I'm not going to be okay. And there was a period of time where I thought it was even worse than it was initially when the rape first happened, right? But no, it was, I was fine at the end of the day.
My last trigger was a couple of years ago, and I was about to start a yoga class, a trauma healing yoga class, believe it or not. And I had rented space from a Taekwondo studio that was wonderful. And they had a class going outside my room, and the instructor had just gotten back from a training. And so he was bringing this new technique to his students. And it was where he would whap these two big foam, like, I don't know, hand things. And then he would yell a command. And all of a sudden, I realized I was in fight or flight. And I told them I was leaving my mat. I went outside. I went to the receptionist and I said, he has to stop that now. And she said, well, you know, we are a Taekwondo studio. I said, I understand that, but that noise, what he's doing, that rhythm, he has to stop that now. And he looked over at me and he said, oh, I forgot you're doing yoga. I will quiet it down. I'm so sorry. And I was able to then go back into my class like a piece of wood, because I was totally, you know,
Hey,
I know that I'm okay. And I know that I'm safe. I have my students. I will have to put this aside and deal with it. I taught the class. I'm not sure how. I drove home. I'm not really sure how. And I got home and I walked in and my husband looked at me and he said, oh my God, what the hell happened to you? And I said, I need to sit. I just need to sit. I need to think, because something happened and I don't know what it was. And I sat there for a long time and I said, okay, what about that rhythmic sound? Where was I? Where did I go? And I realized it was from my first rape. He would thrust into me, and that was the sound of our bodies connecting. Whack. And then he would look down at me and yell. Whap. And he would yell. Whap. And he would yell. It was the same rhythm that I had heard in that class. Who would have thunk?
Yeah.
Who would have thunk? I mean, I was 20 some odd years past. And that is what I took to my therapist. I said, this happened. And he said, all right, let's do the EMDR around it.
Yeah.
Did. And at that point, I remembered the songs that were on the radio. Now I realize anytime that those couple songs would come on, I would always get nauseous.
Mm-hmm.
Never could understand why. Now I know why. Because I remembered those were the songs that were playing on the radio when this happened.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing how the brain holds on to that. And I have this association of, like, the smell of, like, a certain type of sausage that was, you know, being cooked at the time. And I cannot stand the smell of sausages. I just cannot do it. And I mean, it's fine. Like, I know what it is, and it doesn't interfere with my life, but it just goes to show how the brain does make these associations that don't go away, right? Once they're there.
Absolutely. And, you know, the brain will only give you as much information as it knows you can handle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know why my brain thinks I'm quite the badass, But, you know, it releases things when I least expect it and says, oh, snow, you know. But it's true, you know, you don't realize that these associations are there until something really unlocks it. And it's nothing to be afraid of because you are safe. And it's just a matter of getting to someone who can help you unbox it.
Right. Yeah.
And process it.
And so here's a question I have for you in your role as a yoga therapist. And I think it's clear if somebody's been diagnosed with a traumatic brain injury, that makes sense. That's one thing. But when people come to you, do they have a diagnosis of PTSD or trauma? Are they self-presenting, looking for, like, how do people find you? Like, what are the circumstances there?
Well, sometimes I have social workers or therapists that will refer their clients to me. Sometimes you have someone who is not ready to talk. They've had trauma. They know what they've experienced, mm-hmm. but they can't talk yet.
Right.
This is a great place for them to start. Sometimes they are in therapy and they feel like it's stalling. There's more than one way to skin a cat. I don't know where that came from, but it you know, it's a saying.
It's a disturbing saying. I hear you.
But I don't know why we say that. So, you know, it goes hand in hand with talk therapy. It goes hand in hand with meds. It goes hand in hand with, you know, all different types of modalities. There are so many different ways. Just going to a therapist, a talk therapist, isn't the only way to heal. Mm-hmm. But I found out after my first rate, you know, I did what everybody else, you know, does. I went to a therapist. I talked about it. And what I found was that over the years, I would keep going back therapist after therapist after therapist, talking about the same stuff.
Yeah.
I never felt like I put it to bed. Now, the EMDR did help. However, I really felt like I made the most amount of progress on my mat.
Sure. Sure.
Because the body also holds the trauma. You know, as I explained before, this, it starts in the body. And so when you start moving the body in a certain way, we start really honing in on those muscle groups to create that shaking mechanism, resetting that central nervous system. Well, when you start spending more time in the upper echelon brain, you have a little bit more control over your emotions, your critical thinking. You can make more sense of things. We get to a point where we start connecting synapses that we weren't connecting before. The brain is starting to unscramble itself and you're able to think clearer and make more sense of things. Your talk therapy is going to work and be more effective. Everything goes hand in hand. There is no one prescribed way to heal.
Right. But what I love about this is I suspect a good proportion, and this is just pure conjecture on my part, based on my own personal experience, is that there are probably many, many women out there who have experienced sexual assault of some kind, who either feel too ashamed or, you know, that there's stigma surrounding it, that they just don't go to receive therapy of any kind. And it seems to me that something like yoga therapy, where you don't have to talk about it yet anyway, is such an amazing place to start.
Absolutely. You know, we don't talk about it. And in fact, my class is so different than a regular yoga class. You know, if you've gone to a fitness-based class, you know, it's probably been very quiet. You know, your instructor is possibly walking around. They might turn the lights off at one point. You know, all of these different things, right? Your instructor might touch you. Mm. In my class, none of that happens.
Sure.
The lights always stay on. Mm-hmm. I never leave my mat. If I do, I announce, I tell where I'm going and what I'm doing. So nobody has to worry about somebody behind them.
Right.
Generally, yeah. My classes are U-shaped. So nobody is behind one another. And we talk. It is an interactive class. We talk the entire time. We usually talk about food, so you're probably going to be pretty hungry afterwards. We talk about current events. We talk about, you know, whatever. We don't talk about. We don't need to. We all know why we're there.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, I'm not a talk therapist. That is not my, you know, my scope of practice. However, in the silence is where this scary stuff occurs.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And so by keeping it interactive and talking, we are able to, and literally move into poses while we're doing it. The brain is busy. The brain is very, very busy. It's not thinking about the situation that got us there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not thinking about what happened 20 minutes ago, the fight you just had with, you know, your significant other or whatever. All of that, it melts away. And then when you're able to, whether you even realize it or not, it just lets you create this bandwidth. It drops some of the baggage, create a bandwidth so you can go back out into the world at a more calmer level, if the, you know,
sure.
Having more bandwidth, not holding on to the baggage you walked in there with.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people do get triggered on their mats. And at that point, you know, if they want to talk about it, they can. Again, not a talk therapist. I will, you know, tell you to go and talk with your therapist about it. Open it up with them. They are the ones that are equipped to handle that. You know, my job is to connect your central nervous system. My job is to reset that. Make sure the brain and the body are talking. When we have PTSD, and I talk about resetting the central nervous system, the central nervous system essentially goes offline.
Mm-hmm.
The brain is no longer talking with the body. Another reason why people gain weight is because with PTSD, we live from the neck up.
Yeah. Well, and this is why I'm so intrigued about this, because I mean, this is just common almost universally in women I meet who are binge eaters or have emotional eating issues, is this complete disconnect from the head and the body, right? The brain and the body. And so I think the question I'm working around asking is, like, do you have to have PTSD to benefit from yoga therapy? Like, can yoga therapy be used simply as a tool to reconnect you for whatever reason has caused you to be disconnected?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, yeah. You hear about these moms who lift a car off their baby, you know,
right. Like, yeah.
And you can't understand how they got this strength to do this or what have you. That is because the brain and the body are no longer talking to one another.
Mm-hmm.
There's, as we know, cortisol and adrenaline in the system.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a fight or flight mechanism that occurs that, again, you don't feel that the weight of the car. And so that's that we need to then at some point reconnect the brain and the body again.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's why there is the whole, you know, eating disorder, because they don't feel from here down. They don't see it. They don't acknowledge it. It doesn't occur.
Mm-hmm.
There are times when, you know, somebody could break a bone and not even realize it. Somebody can have a gaping wound, not even realize it.
Oh, of course. Right. Of course this can happen. And the thing is, I think people can intellectually understand the whole lifting the car off the baby thing. Right. And, you know, the broken bone and not noticing it right away. Right. Like in these extreme examples, it somehow makes sense. But I think where the problem is so many of us in modern society are living with our brains and our bodies disconnected at
yes.
baseline, that we don't even recognize that it's a problem or that is happening. And I don't know what the solution to that is. Like on a global scale, I don't know what the solution to that is, but it's just something that I see so often. And, you know, maybe this is just who I surround myself with in my medical career and things, is just that there is, just seems to be this chronic separation of body and mind amongst so many people in our society today.
Well, part of it is because we've become more sedentary.
Sure.
That is absolutely part of it. However, there's another discussion that needs to be held, and that is, you know, who gets PTSD?
Sure.
For a long time, we thought it was just military.
Right. Yep.
Okay. However, it can be anyone who has a spine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for sure. Right.
And all of us who are living this human existence right now, all of us have some level of PTSD.
Sure, we do.
Okay. Yeah. Whether it's high functioning or not. Now, what can change, what can create this? You know, a car accident, mugging, a death, watching someone die, clowns. I mean, you name it. It could also be years of abuse, neglect.
Sure. Yeah.
Things like that can also create a PTSD type of situation. And so even though you can say to me, well, you know, this woman's not been raped, but she has a, you know, she's a binge eater. Why is her brain not connected to her body? Okay, well, what is it? You know, it may not have been a sexual assault, but were people mean to her, her whole body? Was she bullied as a kid? Was she told she was fat? Was she told she was no good? What is it that created her trauma? Because she's got trauma.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I guess the question that follows that is, does it matter?
In the grand scheme of life, does it really, really matter? Well, you know, getting a person from that point to a point where they're better functioning, that's important. Mm-hmm. However, at some point, they're going to have to deal with the demon.
Sure. Okay.
They're going to have to put the demon to bed.
Fair enough.
Or else it's not going to occur, you know?
So that's why modalities like yoga therapy is not necessarily enough on its own. It's part of the overall plan in conjunction with talk therapy or other things that might be needed.
Absolutely. And talk therapy is not the end all either.
Mm-hmm.
You need the movement. You need the other things coupled with it. Talk therapy and meds is not the end all.
I think the world is starting to shift because I feel like for the longest time, and again, this might be my bias as a physician and living in that world, is that the treatment modality has largely been focused on medications and talk therapy and not really focused on this whole body piece. And again, maybe I'm biased again because of my foray into the coaching world and understanding more about the nervous system and how these things live in our body too, that this is important. But it seems to me that more people are talking about that piece as well.
Yes, it's starting to really occur. You know, again, when you have PTSD, the brain and the body aren't talking to one another. So you can go and you can talk. You know, you can get your brain out.
Yeah.
But it's still not connecting the body.
Mm-hmm.
You need to do something to connect the body and the brain. And we are able to do that with the yoga therapy.
Right. And so Anissa, in terms of the yoga therapy, is this something you've mentioned that you've taught classes? So if I'm understanding, this doesn't have to be on a one-on-one thing. This can be done in a class.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And can it be done online? Is that a safe way to practice yoga therapy?
I do everything online.
Okay.
And I did that even prior to COVID. There are too many women out there. And I live in Kansas. I live in rural Kansas, where the livestock outnumber the people.
And it's kind of like that in Alberta, where I live too.
You know, yeah. The cows weren't really digging it, but the bison does like yoga, by the way. But the cows weren't digging it. And this is not just an American situation. You know, one in every other woman has experienced this. And mm-hmm. So being online, you know, just helps me to be able to reach women everywhere.
Right.
Now, because it's online, I can have more people in my class. Generally in live, I try to only have 7, no more than 10 in my class live, because that's a lot of energy going on in one room.
Yeah. That's hard for you. I understand that. Yeah. Yeah.
But online I can have 25, mm-hmm. 50, 100 if I needed or wanted, which is the beauty of it. And be able to reach that many people. So no, I do everything online. Now, there are some people who feel like they're not ready for a class.
Mm-hmm.
And in that scenario, I do one-on-ones.
Sure. Okay. And so, Anissa, if people wanted to explore the option of yoga therapy further with you, where could they find you?
Well, I'm kind of like a bad penny. I show up all over the internet under traumahealingyoga.com.
I love it.
All the socials, except for like, I'm not on Snapchat or TikTok because I'm not groovy like that. Mm-hmm. I'm old. And so I'm on, you know, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn.
The oldies but goodies. It's all the oldies but goodies.
Yeah, I'm just not groovy. Yeah. And again, my website, traumahealingyoga.com. If your listeners want to go, I have a meditation there waiting for them. It's free. A lot of folks have problems with sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And sure. So this is a great meditation to help them relax, to get into sleeping. I have free Facebook groups that people can join. One is just for women who are like you and I.
Mm-hmm.
And then another group of both men and women with just generalized PTSD.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
And people can find out about those Facebook groups from your website as well?
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Well, I know I am definitely going to sign up for a class. Can you do that? Can you sign up for a single class?
Well, I would, you know, if you wanted to, you could do a one-on-one.
Yeah.
I'm in the process, though, of releasing, it's a membership for women who are like us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to have live and recorded classes.
Mm-hmm.
Because at 3 a.m. when your mind is racing and it's best to be on a mat,
yeah,
you can't go down to your corner yoga studio and say, open up.
Right. Good.
So there'll be recorded and live classes. There's going to be education, and the education is not only about, you know, what is PTSD? How is this showing up in your body? But how to eat for PTSD? There are certain things we're not supposed to be eating. Certain things we should be eating.
Mm-hmm.
How to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
How to live with this and really, you know, be able to manage the symptoms. And then there's the community. What I really found was that, you know, because there's the stigma, the shame, the embarrassment, the guilt, nobody talks about this.
That's such an important piece.
You know, but when you look at AA or NA or even Weight Watchers, mm-hmm. they all have a community aspect to their healing. You are not meant to heal by yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need to be surrounded by people who get it. And so there will also be a community aspect to this membership.
That sounds amazing.
And I'm so excited about it. I have been working on this for a very long time, and I'm finally getting to the point where it's ready to go.
I am so excited for you. And I think I'm probably going to poke around and take a look at this to explore further for myself. I'm really interested in what you're offering. And I feel that your explanation of PTSD today has just been so easy to understand and focus. So I'm really excited to see what you have to offer. And I can't wait to share that with listeners as well.
At the end of March, on the 25th, I'm running a full day workshop. It's from 8 to 5. It's okay. All online.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have at least 2 different classes, yoga therapy classes, along with some education and community and everything, kind of all wrapped up into a 1 8-hour day. So that is also available. There's details at the website about it as well. And then right after that, the membership will be available. I'm super excited, and I can't wait to, you know, be able to interact with more women.
Yeah, what a gift you have to offer. Anissa, thank you so much for joining me here today. Any last words of wisdom before we sign off?
Giving up is not an option.
Ah, I like that. Giving up is not an option.
Short but sweet.
Love it. Love it. It's brilliant.
Thank you.
All right, Anissa, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me on.